to another episode of Truth Serum, your daily dose of truth, debunking BS realities and illusions that we have subscribed to. My name is Melissa Binkley, and I am your host. I'm a soul, life, and business strategist. My mission is to show you how to transform your life and business by bridging science and spirituality and debunking the current belief systems that have us all trapped. In this, learning to walk the path of surrender and grace instead of fear and control. It is time to raise social, sustainable, conscious awareness and spirituality and create a conscious revolution. We need more people like you, leaders, healers, creatives, and coaches to live their purpose and create global impact with their mission. Through connecting with amazing love leaders, we will reach 1 billion and create a shift in the world. And today, we welcome love leader Lisa Kerr. Kara. Lisa Kara is a wife and mother of two boys, a certified Stop Pilates Bear Concept Pio instructor and author. In 2000, she started taking Pilates mat and reformer classes and instantly realized the many benefits that Pilates provides. Then in 2006, she started her entrepreneurial journey, owning and operating her own Pilates studio, Inbalance Pilates in Ottawa, Canada. She's trained in gerontology, and as a physiotherapy assistant, she went from chronic low back pain to pain-free and strong with Pilates, fitness, and mindset work. Lisa inspires other like-minded women to obtain optimal posture through direct support in person at her studio and online internationally through digital Pilates courses, sessions, and coaching. She has a special interest in applying the Pilates principles to help her clients rehab chronic pain. She enjoys working with clients that have brain injuries and also makes time to help Pilates instructors pass their Pilates exams. She's passionate about helping other entrepreneurs strategize and begin their business ventures. Her daydream day includes the beach, travel, and workouts with her husband and two boys. That sounds like a dream to me. Lisa is a co-author in the book Women Who Inspire, which is released September 26, 2017, which is going to be a number one bestseller. We all know it. And so excited to have you here with us, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me. It's so nice to connect on here.
Oh, it's so nice to connect with you also. And I'm so excited to talk today with you about your truth serum. And so what I'm wondering is, what is your shot of truth serum that you want to deliver to our audience? What BS reality do you want to debunk or demystify?
I would say that our main ways we get stuck and tripped up on our ideas of failure. Mm. Your Facebook Live last week was fantastic when you were talking about failure and your hike that you were on, remember last week. But it's true, I find we can get so stuck, you know, going on in our life and we hold on to things or expectations the way we think something should be. And when it doesn't quite work out that way, if we can either kind of choose to stay stuck in failure or choose to really take the reins and reframe things and find whatever positive things we can. That's the best way to put one foot in front of the other and move on and move forward and keep growing.
Mm. So today's shot of truth serum, the truth about failure. I mean, really, is there such a thing as failure? What is failure? I'm fascinated to know because for me, like you said, I recently did a Facebook Live about failure. And I think it's something that we all come across as women, as entrepreneurs, as having experiences, this idea of failure and what happened. So what brought you to this truth about failure? What is your masterpiece message, your message around truth or the lesson or the trial that really started you into this experience of understanding the truth around failure?
Mm-hmm. So I've had my Pilates studio for 11 years. And I originally got into Pilates because of a back injury, to rehab the back injury. So I found it helped tremendously with just finding a fitness routine that helps your body and helps you maintain your posture and things like that. But when I originally started the studio, I was not yet married, so doing my own thing, had way more hours in the day, let's say. And so having that brick and mortar was a great way to keep introducing my Pilates and posture and helping other people with back issues. And then let's say 9, 10, 11 years later, just trying to maintain that balance of being a mom with two young boys. We were just recently talking about cooking and having healthy food on hand all the time. So even just being able to balance like the daily self-care stuff of feeding yourself properly, drinking enough water, getting all your exercise in. So it kind of came to the point in my life where I certainly wasn't putting myself first. And as you know, when you're not taking care of yourself, it trickles into every other aspect of your life, no matter how much you try to hold all the balls and juggle everything. Mm. So there is a huge desire in me to want to almost not walk away from my brick and mortar, but I really wanted to do something different. I still wanted to do Pilates. I still wanted to share my message with people. But the brick and mortar and working 7 days a week and leaving every night when my kids were going to bed, that's when everyone wants to exercise, it just wasn't jiving anymore. Mm-hmm. But I was stuck in that people pleasing, these are the expectations of other people. And it just downright felt like a failure to think about closing my brick and mortar. Mm. Even though when you look at numbers, when you look at there's so many beautiful positive things that have come out of it. And it's a beautiful way to run my business. I've since moved my studio to my home this past June. So something I was resisting for quite a long time. Just when we put those expectations, that thought that, well, we start out teaching classes here and then we're working towards doing that at a studio, it just always seemed I was fighting that inner fight of, well, why do I want to walk away from this thing that I've built and put so much time and energy into, right? It's been an amazing like journey, and all the people that I've met along the way that have helped me reframe things and look at things in a different light.
So I love the idea that when you were going into and you talk about thinking of stepping away from something, like you had, there was a certain expectation, right? I say expectation is the killer of joy, and the fear of failure or the idea that you're going to fail at something, is it really about us and like, oh my gosh, I can't do it? Or is it that expectation of what we should be doing or what other people perceive is failure, when actually it could be something greater, opening for the universe to allow something greater to happen in your life? Did you at that time, were you looking at your life and saying, oh, if I close down, then I've failed, that I've let people down? What was your definition of failure at that point? Was it a letting down of other people? Was it something else? Like, you know, what made you think it was failure?
Yeah, I think the main thing it was this cloud of feeling like I was abandoning my clients. I mean, I had to have clients that had been with me for 10 years, mm-hmm. right? This is their outlet in the evening. This is their way to decrease their pain, to stand taller, to have someone to talk to get their fitness in. So it definitely became this putting other people's needs much higher than my own and my family's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that in itself, when you actually look back at it, when we are as women, that's what we're taught, right? Put everybody else first. And I believe that's actually the ultimate failure. We failed ourselves, right? And it's we haven't stepped into our own truth around saying, okay, why am I not valuable enough to take care of me first? And then not realizing that by doing that, you actually have more success and you can actually step into a greater experience into moving into that. So now that you got into a place where you realized that you had to move the business, you had to make some changes, that it wasn't necessary, or what looked like a failure. And what I believe is that every single, you can't have success without failures, that everything that looks like a failure actually turns out to be a stepping stone or the next rung on the ladder to something much greater and bigger. So where has that taken you with your mission in life and to to really helping people and making these shifts. Share with us about that, you know, what is your mission and how has this experience stepped you into a greater expression of that?
Definitely. So after I started to really, really get down to the nitty gritty of, okay, what is stopping me? What is the big thing here? So that whole abandoning, once I really got clear on, okay, wait a second, I'm not abandoning my clients by making this shift, taking ownership of my life and my business and what changes I need to make, and that it wasn't abandonment, really realizing that, I kind of was left with, okay, I know this now, how can I make this change? And I probably really said it out loud that day, okay? The next day, I went into my garage to grab a broom, didn't see a garden tool that was leaning against my garage, stepped on it, it clocked me in the head like that. So the day before, I was like, how am I going to make these changes? I want this realization. I have to do it. Because for a good year and a half, I was like, I want to make these changes, but I'm not doing it. So point being, got a concussion from the garage incident. And so all those things that I was resisting were essentially kind of forced on me from that injury. So there was, it was finally like the universe saying, okay, we're not going to let you off the hook this time of you saying you're going to make these changes, but then I was always just kind of half in, half out. I would say being off, and you probably had times in your life where maybe you had to take a step back from how busy you were and how much you were doing, right? That forced break.
Yeah.
And being off from the concussion really allowed me the time and space to write more and to find out about the Women Who Inspire book project. So therefore, I'm very passionate about like these series of events that led me to getting on the book project, which in turn allows me to share my message more internationally, even more so than before. You know, it's an amazing way to reframe closing the studio or in turn moving the studio to my house, being able to write now. And as I said, I mean, all the, as you know, all the amazing people on this project and just the way we've been able to connect, it's absolutely unbelievable. So taking that forced situation and turning it into just continually being able to see the beauty that's come out of it and keep being able to apply these lessons on like a daily basis.
I love that you talk about, like, literally you got hit upside the head, right? and every single one of these Truth Serum podcasts, we've come to this place where I talk to people and I've noticed a reoccurring theme throughout life and time is that I talk about the universe is always sending you signs and signals. And when we're ready for transformation, when it's time for transformation, you have two choices. You either have transformation through the 2x4 method, which is getting literally hit upside the head by the universe with a 2x4, right? Or the path of grace and surrender. Unfortunately, in the beginning, many of us don't know that there's two paths to transformation. We only ever notice it when we get hit upside the head by the 2x4. And you literally got hit upside the head. You know, and so it was like the universe is like, okay, boom, ready. Are you listening now? And you know, and so literally stepping into that, and now there's like saying, okay, but there is a better way. You can take the path of grace and surrender into this experience. But one of the things that I found fascinating when in your story you wrote, and I think this is part of that truth serum around failure, is you felt like you were a failure if you left your clients, but in this passage here, it felt like you were a failure even if you, like what you're saying, because you say my short drive to the studio was filled with anxiety, upset stomach, aches, pains, tears, mom guilt, business owner guilt, and the constant stress of having one foot in and one foot out. I always assumed it must have felt much like a bad marriage, one that you're always contemplating leaving. The weight of being stuck was always there. It sounds like you felt like you didn't have any options either way. Like that no matter, you were either failing your family or you were failing your clients. And so because you were stuck in that space, it was almost like you had to have something hit you upside the head to make that change.
Definitely.
Fascinating. I love that, that, you know, that idea of where you're being stuck. So with this, now with where you're at, and now that you've really stepped into this truth, right, you've created this new experience, what is your mission now what are you here to share on a deeper level with humanity? Because I know it's not just Pilates.
Oh, you're the second person that said that to me with that much intent. Kate was the other one that said that. In a very direct, one of those times when you're meant to really remember that phrase. I would say, in these last several months, last October till now, obviously being dealing with the post-concussion symptoms, I definitely don't think that was by mistake, like that whole happening. Yes, I clearly needed to be hit upside the head to make my business changes, but I find there's so much to learn about post-concussion stuff and just how to relate to people that have it, whether it's a family member or a friend or a colleague. It's again one of those kind of invisible illnesses that the person doesn't look like something's wrong, but whether they're dealing with headaches or whatever the variety of symptoms are, that I know deep in my heart, I can't just let that share that. So whether it's a best friend that will come to me later in life that, you know, someone they love the most has this happen and they're not sure how to help them get through it or help them manage things, it kind of feels like I'm just more on the tip of really helping more people that way. Clearly, I've had clients in the past that have had post-concussion and things like that. But the whole helping people really, when you're so stuck in something where you're not sure how long it's going to last or how long it's going to take to get better, how you're going to be able to return to your kind of previous activities of daily living, being able to daydream about being healthy in the future, or, you know, having someone to talk to that all you do is talk about all the good things that have come out of it, to again reframe that negative to what is my life like now, what has occurred now that maybe wouldn't have happened, and just continue to stay on the as much of the positive path as you can. It's definitely when life changes in a flash, it's you know, you've got your good days and bad days, and you need those people and support systems that can really keep you on the side.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you said that you felt stuck in the business, right? In those areas and that. And then you just said the same thing. You felt stuck at when you had the brain injury, like, or when you had the concussion. I don't know if it's considered a brain injury, but it had the concussion. So it's like almost a reoccurring theme. There was like some sort of lesson or something that you needed. So there's almost this place of, and I believe like with Pilates and healing the body, you were stuck with back pain, right? You were stuck in an injury. So there's like, there's a place here of I'm seeing a masterpiece message or something underlying all of this of how do you help people transform through stuckness in different areas of their lives, like physically, mentally, emotionally, right? Like this whole idea of you're stuck, and we're stuck because there's something that's related to failure in there that we're saying, oh, here it is. And so now you've been shown on all these different avenues in these different areas about how can I, how can I show people how to get out of that shitty stuckness in their lives and really do that. Yeah. I love that. I love that there's that piece of that. And what I've noticed with a lot of people that I work with and that, you know, experiencing and working with the thousands of people all over the world and is that people like tend to think when they're going to transform their lives or when they want to make changes that they believe that it takes like a complete overhaul. Like, oh my God, I have to change everything. It's going to be so hard. I don't know what to do. I believe that there's a different path though, that we can take small little steps, like one here and there. So what is one ritual or practice or thing that you cannot live without? Like if you had a 5-minute solution that if say our audience, like do this one thing for the rest of your life. And if you don't do anything else, at least this is something. What would you suggest?
Focusing on the breath. Yeah, focusing on the breath.
So can you give an example? Can you share with people and maybe do some like a little experiential, like help me focus on my breath?
Definitely. So I would say like if you were just in a really stressful time and you really just needed to calm down, simplest way is just you're going to inhale through the nose And you can even think of, you know, inhale white light or something that reflects peacefulness to you. And on your exhale, you can maybe exhale that black smoke or that dark energy. So inhale white light, and then exhale that dark energy. But definitely the breath. The breath is your anchor. So whether you need to just stress relief, whether you need to stabilize, use the breath with even just trying to contract transversus to make sure you're stabilizing your back. Use it when you're stressed, use it when you're happy, use it to
I feel wonderful. And I agree. I think breath is one of the most important things. It's actually funny. I was laying in bed last night with my girlfriend, and the dog's laying next to us, and the dog goes, and lets out this bit. And so then she does it, and she's like, oh, that feels so good. And I'm like, oh, the breath. Yes. It's such a powerful experience. Like just stopping and taking that in, and it quiets everything, like the parasympathetic nervous system, you know, all these things start to come together. And I believe the breath is, and I teach in the intuitive intelligence program that we have been using with trauma survivors, that we're working around the world with these organizations, is teaching them heart breathing and breath through the heart space, and bringing that experience into the body, and those types of things. So if it works for trauma, it works for anybody. And it's probably by far, it's the 5 second solution. You don't even need 5 minutes. It's the 5 second solution to really changing your experience of your life. It is one of the things that I think I've seen when I was doing health coaching, when I used to be a health coach. It was one of the things that I would help people, like, who have digestive disorders. I worked with a lot of trauma in that that sacral chakra area, and just changing the way that they breathed on a daily basis actually started to change the physiology of their body. So it was this, and I know that you know this because you're a Pilates instructor, so it works in all sorts of different avenues and areas. So that's incredible. Uh-oh. And so I agree. I just think breath is one of the most powerful things that you can do. All right. So I have a question. If you could do one thing in this world before you pass on to the next realm, so it could be adventure. It doesn't have to be business related. It can be mission related or not, or it can be, I call it a bliss list. Most people say I have a bucket list. I don't believe in the bucket list. I believe in the bliss list. And what's one thing that you want to share with the world that you have to do before you leave this earth?
I would have to make sure my two boys grow up feeling confident and loved, and that they can do anything they want in this world.
And how do you plan on doing that?
How do I not plan on doing that?
right. Yeah. Well, what are some of, you know, because lots of us are mothers. I'm a mother, and you know, I think that's part of the experience is that, you know, so what are some of the things that you are passing down, or how do you, because now I went from stressed out entrepreneurial mom, freaked out, like, you know, and I know the same thing for you, feeling guilty doing all those things too. How do we create this, you know, and now I have a 19-year-old daughter who's a sophomore in college, who I had bad mother syndrome. I had like all of these things, like, you know, I left her when she was very young, and I mean all this stuff. And now my daughter, when I go to her campus, she does like anti-bullying, LGBT rights. Like, you go walk into her dorm rooms and there's like affirmations all over the walls, and she's the one that she tells them, nobody knows she's written them. And then all her friends meet me and they're like, oh, she gets it from you. And, you know, it took me years to be like, oh, I never knew that I instilled that in her. I always had this, oh my God, I'm not doing it right thing. But there was these little things that I started to realize over time that they pick up on your actions more than anything else. And, you know, she's worked for me now for 5 years since she was 14 years old. So she actually writes my stuff for me. Like, you guys, she does writing, and, you know, so she's so ingrained in my philosophy that she can write my work for me at this point. And so I'm very blessed in that. And so I'm always curious to other people who have kids, especially entrepreneur moms, like, what are you working towards or trying to instill in them, or how are you doing that?
Well, I guess the main thing from this last year that I've learned is the whole self-care of myself. So the whole make sure mama's happy, everyone's happy, but for real, like the total self-care of myself, feeding them properly, all the daily stuff with, you know, teaching them about breathing, teaching them about writing down their feelings, so getting into that bit of journaling, meditation, any of these tools, learning as an adult, you know, how can you make them fun for kids to just put it kind of into their daily life, even just with the breath, like my kids, you know, can't fall asleep, you're waiting, you take your deep breaths, if you're stressed out, you take your deep breaths,
you're
angry. So part of it is that. And then, yeah, just the whole, in any way, trying to instill that confidence. So whether it's, you know, if they're shy about doing certain activities, just getting into that, not pushing them too much to do something that's out of their comfort zone, but yet what tools can we give them to get them to try something that they're leery of, right? How can we best build them up without just kind of shoving them into the unknown and the support. And I probably, you know, at times you do the, sometimes, as you said, you kind of do the things that you think of the ways you don't want to be, let's say, from our own childhood. It's like, okay, how can I make sure I don't do that? And kind of go from there. But yeah, continually working towards that, you know, working towards constantly having a good marriage and being good role models in terms of how to show love and how to be there for each other. I've been, my husband's like such an amazing entrepreneurial husband because he's got the 9-to-5 job and has always been so supportive of me, even with the babies. Like when the babies were young and I would be nursing, he would drive over and bring me the baby, go back home with it, you know. So just continuing to nurture all those aspects of life and just keep on showing them the best way.
I have to say, of all of everything that you said, and I want to make a real clear point to everybody, the first thing that she said was taking care of herself first. And I want to pinpoint on that, because I believe as parents that we sometimes think that we need to take care of everyone else first, but it's the whole, you know, put your own mask on before you help anybody else thing. Before you can do any of these other things for your children, if you're not first taking care of yourself first and filling your own soul and making sure that you're okay and the self-care, the rest of it is not going to work, because they notice and they know if you're not taking care of yourself, and they're going to follow your actions before they listen to the words, the other things that you say. And so if you're doing that first, the other things come naturally and will flow, because then they'll pay attention to that. So I just want to reiterate that point for everybody. It took me a long time to understand that. And I know that it takes all of us a while to get to that space. So thank you for sharing that. Lisa, I want you to share with everyone, how do they find you? I know that maybe if you're in Ottawa, Canada, you can go to her home and do Pilates, but she also does things online and all sorts of other cool stuff. So how do they connect with you if they want to find out more about you and Pilates and concussion, post-concussion stuff and all that good everything?
Definitely. So my website is inbalancepilates.ca. There's information on there. On Facebook, my business page is Inbalance Pilates Studio. And we also have a free Facebook community, which is Inbalance Pilates Community. So you can find me there. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn and Pinterest. But yeah, so you can connect with me there.
Awesome. And so last question is, you're 110 years old and you're on your deathbed. So if you know, I like the 110 because it's got the 11 in it. And so when you're on your deathbed, something happens and nobody can come visit you except for one person. He's a reporter. He's going to do your epilogue and your obituary and all of these things. And he asks you, he says, if you had one truth that you could leave for all of your friends, family, and humanity to know, what would you say?
do you and enjoy you in all your pluses and minuses and everything.
Do you and enjoy you and all your pluses and minuses and everything. I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Truth Serum. Stay tuned and catch us on the next episode. Talk soon. Bye.
Thank you.